Sigh. All right. Thank y'all. That was good singing. I do enjoy it. I love godly music. Godly music. Godly music is a godly thing. I like it. And, I despise. I don't know if that's the word. I can't find the word that's ugly enough. I told Matt the other day, something came up. I said, that makes me want to puke and cuss all at the same time. And my son enjoyed that. I think I might have justified one of his cuss words or something when I said that. But I hope not. It's just how it's sitting and it makes me. Let me say this. I hate the wrong music. Amen. I don't like the wrong music at all. Daniel chapter number 3, we'll try to go. I was going to read the whole chapter, but just for the sake of time, maybe we'll just kind of, you know, glean down through there as we go and try to see how far we can get, go down through here, not verse by verse, but thought by thought, and see what the Lord does. Seems like on my way to church, I test my throat. And I told Stephen, I said, it seemed like my throat was doing pretty good. She said, what do you mean? I said, them old allergies and stuff, I feel like I got a hocker in my throat and I can't hardly breathe and talk sometimes. Yeah, I got a hack. I'm afraid to hack. If I hack, I might sling some phlegm out there and blind you. So I'm afraid of what might come up. I catch myself hacking Zach and I don't like it. I wish that I didn't hack. Because somebody told me one time, son, the only reason you hack is because you're ignorant. You ain't got nothing to say. Now, that's what I was told. I went, God, help me. So I catch myself hacking a lot, Ms. Holly. I said, well, I'm ignorant. Ain't no doubt about that. They was right. And some of these old boys say, if you want to meet, you better learn how to hack. And oh well, Mays Jackson was a hacker, and I leave it to him. Amen. I like to hear him. I like to hear him breathe. You hear me? I just like to hear Mays Jackson breathe. He sounded like a bulldog when he would breathe. You know, but when you're overweight and all that, that's what happens. You know, so I'd rather not breathe like him. My grandpa, I like to hear my grandpa eat. My grandpa can make cow tongue sound good. I mean, he can get cooked cabbage in a cow tongue and make you go, my goodness, I wish I had some of that. I mean, you know, there he laid a whole cow tongue on top of a pile of cabbage and you go, you're going to eat that? Boy, when he got to eating, it sounded so good. And man, he can chew in the back and I'm telling you, he made it sound so good. I'm telling you, boy, I wish I had some of that. But, Lord, let's get to going. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, just for the setting, Nebuchadnezzar chapter 3 verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. Now I want you to listen real careful this morning because a lot of times we hear things but we don't get it. And I want us to, I'm not going to go real deep. You don't have to worry about bringing snorkels and flippers to this church. We'll stay above the water. We're not going to ever get real deep because I'm not that smart, okay? We'll just skim across the surface, do a little surf fishing and see what we do with that, huh? I leave the deep sea fishing to them boys that's smarter than me. Yeah, y'all fixing to go up to New York and I'll leave some of the deep sea fishing to some of them guys. They smart. But the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. Now listen, he set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. We know here in this book that we have the three Hebrew boys that we refer to, the three Hebrew boys. I like to think of them as men. I don't care how old they was, but they had them some character and they had some integrity. They had a little backbone. And plus we understand that we had the book, we got Daniel. Those four people in this book that made a difference in this world, right? I don't want to chase rabbits and these thoughts that hops in my mind. And if the Lord just wants me to say it, maybe he'll bring them back. But I really do appreciate the four people in this chat, in this book. They made a difference. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. You can't find the word revival in this chapter. You can't find anybody on Twitter. You can't find anybody on social media. You can't find anybody shooting a text back and forth. You can't find anybody stuck off over in a corner somewhere taking photos of what these guys are. Ain't nobody doing nothing like that. But I promise you one thing. If you read through the book of Daniel, you're going to see there was four old boys in there. They didn't have cell phones and modern technology, but they did turn this world upside down for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. And they did it without technology. That's amazing, isn't it? Boy, I appreciate it. We have these three Hebrew boys here that has been held captive. And here is in our passage, they're being brought into bondage to the king of Babylon. And though they are in bondage, they continue to declare that Nebuchadnezzar does not own them. They continue to remind him that he is not their master. They declare that they're owned by God and they serve and love the Lord. Now, King, you may be wicked. Oh, help me, Jesus. And you may not be what God wants you to be. But here's what we're going to let you know. We're going to serve the true and living God. You're not our God. And you don't dictate to us who we serve. You don't dictate to us how we serve Him. We're going to do what He said, how He said, and when He said. Amen. And I like that. Amen. I like that integrity of them young men. We see that Nebuchadnezzar is built in verse number 1. We can see that Nebuchadnezzar has built a golden image. He's built this thing. And he sent out word for the people to praise this image. I want everybody to come and praise this thing. I want everybody to come and worship this God that I've made. He said that whosoever did not come out and worship when music was being played, then they would be cast into the fiery furnace. We know this story. Let me ask you a question. What would it take? What does it take to get you to sell out on God? What in the world, I wonder, would it take for you to turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? I mean, here's three young men that they don't have a whole lot to account for. But I promise you one thing, son. The highest ranked person in that country had looked them in the eyes and they wasn't willing to compromise for the king of that country. I just wonder sometimes what it takes for us to compromise and sell out the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder what it would take because we've heard the glorious gospel, have we not? I mean, I may not be the best preacher, but I promise you one thing. We've preached enough in here to shed the glorious light of the gospel in every heart and soul that comes in that door. And if you die and go to hell, you're going to die and go to hell trampling over the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll die and go to hell in this place over the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll not go to hell with your eyes closed. You'll go to hell with your eyes wide open. I just wonder, you've had the word of God sown into your life. You've had the light of God shown into your life. What would it take for you to say, to hell with God? What would it take for you to say, I'm going to go with what this world has to offer and say to hell with what God has to offer? I wonder what it would take for some of us. God help us. What would it take? Why did these men not compromise? What was so special about these young men that gave them such character and integrity? Bible don't say much about their mamas and daddies. Don't say a whole lot about their raising. We just catch them here, finding them being faithful to the things of God. I just wonder sometimes when I read stuff, what makes stuff happen? What makes stuff not happen? What helped them? What didn't help them? And I got to thinking, Zach, why didn't these boys compromise? I mean, in a world, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll study this, they were living in a world, not just a town, not just a country, but they were living in a world that was a heathenistic world. The whole world was serving other gods. But yet there's three guys over here, four if you count Daniel, there's three young men over here all partnered up together and they're being faithful to the word of the Lord. They're being faithful to the promises of God. They're being faithful to the things that God has showed them in their life. I thought, what in the world made these men not bow down to this thing? Everybody in the world's doing it. What made these guys not do it? What made these old boys not bow down? Number one, I believe they did not bow down because this God was made by the hands of man. Right. I believe they said, you know what? We're going to serve the God that made man, not a God that man made. Right. I believe anybody can make them a God. If you'll study that, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But they wouldn't bow because they served the Creator over the creature. Isn't that something?
Amen.
It's amazing how the preacher can say something that shallow, Miss Stephanie, and it goes over our head.
I'm just telling you, we're so hardened and our conscience is so seared that we can understand, we can hear a preacher say that these young men serve the Creator over the creature, and it doesn't even take effect much anymore. Because we're so used to serving the creature that that doesn't even faze us.
God help us.
Amen.
Here's what them old boys do. These old boys knew that I believe they done read as much of the Bible as they had. I believe here's what they knew, Michael. I believe they knew the earth was the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all them that dwell therein. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe they knew that God owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. I believe they knew God owned all the gold and the silver in the land. And he created man back in the book of Genesis. And he took the rib out of a man and created he a woman. I believe these old boys said, you know what? We're just going to stick with him. He's the true God. He made us. We didn't make him. I'm not going to bow down to any God that I have to make up. Right. The Bible said in chapter 3, verse number 1, that Nebuchadnezzar, what did he do after he made this God? He set it up. Isn't that amazing? He set it up. It's amazing that the whole country was serving a God that a man had to go over there and set it up.
Yeah.
And these little boys said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to serve any kind of God that you can make with your own hands and have to set him up. Not going to do that.
Amen.
Well, they said, we ain't bowing. It's amazing today how many images or false gods this old world has. I want to try to take our time and get our mind to thinking about some of this for a minute. Because this world is full of images. This world is full of false gods. They come in all kind of shape, forms, and fashions. I mean, there's gods in our life. We don't even realize that they're gods because we ain't close enough to God to realize what an evil they are to us. Well, God gave us the cows in our land, did he not?
Thank God he gave us a good old cow to eat. There ain't nothing like a good old fat ribeye steak. Hallelujah. Cooked medium with some old good juice running. I mean, some warm pink in the center. I love it. Amen. I like that.
But isn't it amazing, Zach, that God's blessed us with all the good cows, and you got them freaks sitting over there in India that's bowing down, starving to death, got pot bellies from starvation, and they're worshiping cows? Man, won't you go kill that thing and eat it and live for a little bit? Here's what I'm trying to say. God gave us that cow, and these Hebrew boys knew this kind of stuff. But isn't it amazing, Miss Holly, when we get done with that cow, we can take the hide off of it, wrap it around a piece of 9-inch yarn, and knock it around in a piece of grass, and thousands upon thousands of fill-up stadiums, and pay untold thousands of dollars to go and sit and watch this stuff. I'm talking about baseball, taking that little cow hide. It's amazing, son. They'll sit out there in the rain. They'll sit out there in the snow. It don't matter what the weather is. You hear me? I went to a ball game last night. There was lightning flashed up in the sky, and the umpire called the game. You wouldn't have believed all the moaning and groaning because the umpire called the game due to some lightning in the sky. I thought, dear God in heaven, I wonder how many would be at church tomorrow. I wonder how many would be upset if the pastor called and said, we're not having church. We'll just see you next week.
Yeah.
It's amazing that the gods that we set up in this world, isn't it? I love ball, friend. I love football. I like baseball. I don't give a flip about basketball. I'm too short, too white, and too slow. But I'm telling you, friend, I like boxing. I like to watch two men get in there and try to beat each other's brains out. I like watching two men fight in a professional ring. I just like, but friend, I'm not going to set that stuff up. I don't want that to come between me and God. I don't want that to take the place of Jesus. I want him first in my life. Right. Like it. I like Manny Pacquiao, Michael. I like to hear him sing his little
Amazing Grace and getting to everybody. Oh, Manny Pacquiao, what a Christian. He's such a fine Christian. He's a preacher in the Philippines. Godless heathen. Gonna pull a shirt off in front of millions and millions and millions. Hop out there in a pair of shorts. Display his body in front of America. And America bow down and worship him. You hear me? I'm telling you, these gods come in every shape, form, and fashion. We turn everything into some kind of a god anymore.
Yeah.
Idolize our cars, a stupid piece of metal. People idolize their cars. People idolize their sports. They idolize sports figures. Matt told me, he said, Dad, he said, we'd go down there after the games. And when he was playing over at NC State, he said, we would come out down there. He said, people would idolize us. Ask us to sign their shirts, sign their balls, sign anything that they could get a signature on. Matt said, man, I looked at him and said, what do you want an autograph for? He said, they looked at me like I was crazy. Because they want just idolizing them ball players. Matt said, I got Dad where it was so weird and crazy, I would sneak out the other side. Just people idolizing the ball players. It's amazing what we've turned into gods, isn't it? We can take a piece of stinking sorry pigskin and wrap it around a rubber balloon. Put it out there on the football field and watch thousands upon thousands. Hey, listen, even churches, brother, church, on Super Bowl night will shut their service down. Break out the chairs, the big screen TV. Call everybody in the Family Life Center. Put on a big display. Let them have a Super Bowl party down at the church. I'm telling you, friend, we don't need football. We need Jesus. We need the Lord. For God in heaven's sakes, Tom Brady can fight. Listen to me. Mike Mitchell was in a church down here. I go to Salisbury several times a week. There's a church I pass every week, Miss Holly. I ain't never seen over 50 cars in the parking lot. They put Mike Mitchell's name, the old DB for the Carolina Panthers, defensive back for the Carolina Panthers. He's coming to church on a Thursday night. I'm telling you, friend, that parking lot was full. The yard was full. The side property was full. Cars was lying down the side of 601 so they could see this professional football player. But Jesus could pass by. Oh, Jesus could pass by. And you couldn't find a handful of folks. I'm telling you, church, we better get back to God and turn off this entertainment. Do away with these false gods and get back to Jesus. Amen. Better get back to him. Miss Stephanie, y'all can ride with me. I dare anybody, you can ride with me. You can't find a handful of cars in that parking lot any day of the week. But they put a professional football player's name on that sign and you couldn't find a piece of pavement within a country mile of the place. It's amazing, isn't it? That's our gods today. That's our gods. If you're not real careful, you'll turn preachers into some kind of an idol. That's right, preachers become idols. Because this guy has got pizzazz. Because he's got talent. Because the little sissy's got the gift to gab. He ain't never had a blister in his stinking life. But he can sure put his little shorts on. Run out to the golf course. Take pictures and post it on Facebook. And the Baptist world goes crazy over him. And they can preach a little bit. They stir up your emotions. And they go, we're having revival this week. Hey, man. I'm telling you, God ain't within a million miles of that stuff, friend. He just ain't around it. We're idolizing men. Man worship. I'm open and honest around here. You say, man, I wouldn't say some of the stuff you say. That's fine. You say whatever you want to say. But I want you to understand I'm just a man. You hear me? I had to hit the knees this morning and I had to confess to the Lord, Lord, if you took your hands off of my life, I would once again be in a wreck. It would be awful. I'd be miserable. Oh, God, would you keep your hand on me? Lord, would you continue to guide me? I try everything in my fleshly power to destroy my life. God leads me over to my flesh. My common sense to drive this thing, friend, I'll be in a ditch by sundown. You hear me? I'm telling you, we need God. We need to get back to God. God. We need to turn off all the idols. We need to put down all the idolatry in our life and just get back to sitting at the feet of Jesus. How about just taking your very best and sitting at His feet? Would you take your alabaster box and pour it out on Him? Would you take your tears and wash His feet? Would you take your hair and dry His feet? Would you take some time to just get back to Him?
Amen.
Oh, dear God, we need the Lord Jesus. I believe these old boys realize Jesus is all that matters. We're not going to bow down to this world's gods. We're not going to chase the sports god. We're not going to chase the man god. We're just going to stick with the true and living God, the Creator, the Potentate, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. We'll just stick with God if it's right with you, King.
Amen.
And if it ain't all right, we're going to stick with Him anyway. Yeah. Well, it's amazing how people can get more excited over the gods of this world than they can redemption. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that we can sing the songs of Zion and sing about how real it is. Thank God the doubts are settled. Boy, you hear me? Can I be honest with you, church? Not one single solitary time this week did a doubt ever cross my mind that I've been passed from death unto life. Hey! That was settled a long time ago. Why, when I bowed down in them woods, the faith of Jesus Christ was placed inside of me, and the doubts were settled. Amen. They were settled.
Amen.
Amen. I've been a sorry son of a gun, Miss Holly. Thank God that doubt was settled a long time ago. Hallelujah. I'm glad He cleared that up, friend. You say, how so, preacher? Because it ain't hinged on me. It ain't hinged even on my faith. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same faith that when He was on the cross, He said, I would have fainted had it not been for the word of the Lord. Hey, man, that's some faith, friend. Jesus Christ's faith. That don't waver, that don't doubt. He put that in me. Hallelujah. Help my unbelief. Isn't it amazing that today we sit in a little country building like this, and my heart literally breaks, y'all, when I watch people going down the road. I seen the motorcycle group come by here a while ago. Probably motorcycling for Jesus this morning. All of them are. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, I watch them go down the road. And the heart breaks because I desire for them to be in the house of the Lord. But they got them little idols between their legs. Riding up and down the road. And can't quite grow up. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Wouldn't it be amazing what we could do with 20 of them $1,000 for the glory of God? Wouldn't it be amazing if some mouths that could be fed? Wouldn't it be amazing if some backs that could be clothed? If we took the idolatry out of our life and started putting it back toward the things of God. Oh, God help us as the people of God see our wrong. Help us. God help us. Well, it's amazing that we sit in here today like this, and yet, Michael, there'll be thousands upon thousands upon thousands rushing out to a racetrack today, and they'll wake up with hangovers tomorrow. I promise you, friend, the majority of them rednecks will be hungover tomorrow from boozing it up all weekend. If they can go down there to that racetrack, listen, they can run 500 miles, and I like racing. But for God's sakes, man, they run 500 miles and they're in the exact same spot when they finish that they was when they started. It's craziness, you hear me? And people idolize that's a god to this whole world. Before they become my god, I hope every stinking one of them wreck and total the cars, run over the walls, and never are able to wreck drive again. Amen. I like racing. I like it so good. I go out there to Bowman Gray on Saturday night sometimes because I like a good fight and I like a good race and I like all that noise. Amen. Just don't let your daughters go. God. Woo. I seen a woman out there the other day. She had a bandana wrapped around her head. She had a chain wallet, blue jean pants, and they wasn't tight. I mean, they looked like she got them from her daddy. And they were dirty, son. She had a black shirt, cut off sleeves. You know, what was that guy's name, Mom? You see, Shana-na. You remember Shana? Blah, blah, blah. You remember the guy? What was his name? The one with
That's what it reminded me of. My mind went back to Sermon Lot. And that guy with them sleeveless shirts that she said that are hanging on the wall. You know, power sign language. I said, well, I think Jesus loves me. I know, baby. I know Jesus loves me.
Oh, Lord have mercy, crazy bunch of nuts. You hear me? They idolize acting like a bunch of fools. I'm telling you that right now. That's their, listen, are you listening? That's their God-given right. Oh, friend, God didn't give that right. No, sir, we're to take this old body and its members and use it for the glory of God. Amen. We're to take the members of this old body, our hands and our feet, our fingers. We're to use our mouth, our lips, our tongue, our ears, our eyes. We're to use our arms and everything for the glory of God, friend. It ought not never do anything to bring glory to the devil. And glory to our flesh and satisfy our stinking flesh. Well, here's what the boys knew. The Bible says, thou shalt, they knew God said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. I believe them boys knew that. I don't believe there's a person in this church that don't know. We shouldn't have any other gods before him. But knowing it and doing it is two different things. Right? That's why we have to preach it. I'm grateful for the example, ladies and gentlemen, that God set before us and these three men not to bow down to these fleshly and worldly idols. These old worldly gods. That's right. You can check around with your little network of family, your network of friends. Miss David, will you get me some of that water, please? I want everybody to see that Gucci attire that you're wearing today. I bought it for the Goodwill for $2.99. But just kidding. I think it's Jacqueline Smith from Kmart. If you come to... Thank you. Woo-wee, baby. I love it. Hey, next time you come up here, slide me your phone number. You can talk to your mama, and you'll walk away. Listen to me. I'm talking to the people in this congregation. You can talk to your mama and walk away and possibly feel like everything's okay. Maybe you can talk to your daddy. Maybe you can talk to your husband or your wife or maybe a brother or sister in this congregation or something like, and you can walk away and feel like everything's just okay. Well, it's all right. We all right. Our little network, man, we got. But I tell you what, friend, you don't have to go very far in this whole world to find out everything ain't okay. Right. I mean, you don't have to go very far. And I don't like being a doomsday or a gloomy kind of guy, but I'm telling you, reality is what it is. Man. And I am a realist, and I like to face the reality of our day. We're living in a day that the very thought of... The thought of a true and living God is absurd. Sure. I mean, they don't even like the thought of the true and living God. I mean, it's a vain thought. Do you understand God, the true and living? Jesus Christ is a vain imagination in most people's life. Sure it is. I'll prove it. You cannot get people to accept truth anymore. Not hardly, but it's a hard thing to do. Get people to accept truth. But you can convince them. You can. It's amazing, isn't it, that you can't tell a man the truth, but you can convince him that he's neither male nor female? I mean, we've convinced America that people are neither male or female. You know what the world calls that? The world's calling that transgenderism, ladies and gentlemen. What in the name of God? That's devilish. That's a doctrine of the devil. That's not God. Let me tell you what God said he done. He created man and woman. Huh? That's what God said. God said, I created man and woman. That's what he did. He didn't create transgenders. That's not in your Bible anywhere, friend. That's a lie that the devil has told, and people have accepted this thing, and they're wanting our children to accept it. And listen, can you imagine? And I can only imagine that my mama sat around and thought about the generation, Brother Church, the generations to come. I can imagine when she was in her 20s and 30s and she thought, oh dear God, what my children are going to have to face.
And here I am, and I'm telling you, it's blowing my stinking mind, but I think about what Isaiah's gonna have to face, and what Grace he's gonna, and what Stephen's gonna have to face. Yeah. Think about this stuff, man.
The God of this world has told people that they were neither. He's told them that they were the opposite. He's told them that there is no creator. Do you hear me? There's no creator. Zach was talking about science this morning. They've tried everything in their power to prove the non-existence of God, and they can't do it. I mean, they come out with some of the stupidest stuff in the world. I mean, I'm not smart. Then when I hear some of this stuff, it makes me feel like I am smart. When I hear some of this stuff from these smart people, I go, man, I really am smart, because they're dumb. Michael, I heard them say one time that all them rivers in the world, the streams and the rivers, came from huge icicles in the outer space that fell out of the sky. Y'all probably heard that same stupid joke. Fell out of the sky and landed here on earth and carved out all the rivers and streams. Are you kidding me? Big ol' eye. That's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how all that happened and nobody can document that? Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen. I did not see Jesus walk up to the grave of Lazarus and say, come forth. I didn't see that woman with an issue of blood come up and touch the hem of his garment. I wasn't over there in John chapter 9 when Jesus passed by and touched that blind man. I wasn't sitting over there at the gate when they walked over there and got that man up and he went a-leaping and a-praising God. I don't have a clue. I didn't see none of that. But can I tell you, there's documentation of it. And outside of the documentation, there's a witness to it. I wasn't there, but the witness was. And their witness is living on the inside of me. His name is the Holy Ghost. And the same person that was there when Jesus died on the cross is the same person that's living on the inside. And when I can read, thank God, Luke chapter number 23, the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me starts to clap his hands and wave around, and he bears witness with what's on the pages of that book, and he tells me that it is so. Amen. That's so. Hey man, we have documentation. We have documentation of everything that's ever happened. We have a witness on the inside. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Ghost. Friend, we have the records. God said it was going to be this way, and he put it in his book, and it's exactly like he said. Amen. Thank God. And my boys do that. I'm telling you, these boys, they serve the God that made them, not the God that they made. Right. Number two, I stayed there longer than I probably should have. Number two, he said they didn't stay. They didn't bow because the God was molded and fashioned. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. If you'll read that real close, the king made an image of gold whose height, it's got dimensions. It tells the height, the breadth. He tells all this stuff. You know what that simply means? You could have made 100 of them. Hey man, you could have made that one, set it up, took the blueprints that he'd done that one, the same breadth, the same height, the same weight, and went right over here to the next little community and made another one up. You could have went to the next neighborhood and made another one up. And then boy said, you know what? We don't want to serve a God that you can just duplicate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what America said. Man, we're living in a world today that duplicates gods every day. Amen. That's right. We build them up every day. We make them just exactly like what we want them to be. Hey. There's no God like our God, ladies and gentlemen. They said we serve a God that's fashioned us, friend. He molded and made us, and their God was duplicated. Their God was molded, but we have a God that cannot be compared. God himself said that. Who can compare to me? Nobody can compare to God. There's no God like our God. Words can't describe him.
I'm telling you, man, I can study all week long and come in here and fumble for words to describe the Lord Jesus. You know what, Michael? I don't even like to preach on heaven because I can't really do it justice. I'm honest. I'm just telling you the way I am. I get to looking at Calvary, Zach, and y'all probably ain't never heard me preach about 3 messages on Calvary. Calvary. You want to know why? Because every time I do, I feel like an utter failure. I can't scratch the surface to what he did at Calvary. And when it comes to hell, I'm telling you, I fall short of being able to describe the torments in that awful place called hell. I try to hit it. I try to put it. I try to expose it and tell about all of them. But friend, every time, words can't do it justice. I sat down and I asked God, God, would you help me to weave in and out of this? Help me, God, get an understanding. God, would you teach me something that I might can help you people? Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. You have to understand, nobody can be compared. Listen, I said a while ago, I like good music and lyrics can't express the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? I'm telling you, man, they get real good sometimes, don't they? They'll make you stand up in church and shout. I mean, they'll just make you stand up. They'll make you ride down the road and weep your eyeballs out. They'll make you ride down the road and throw your hands up and slobber popping out of your mouth and snot bubbles out of your nose. And the people's riding down the interstate beside of you looking at you like you're having some kind of a fit. I'm telling you, man, but when it's all said and done, the words and the music can't suffice. It's amazing. Absolutely. There's none like him. He's far greater, the songwriter said, than tongue or pen can ever tell. Boy, I like that song.
Man.
You understand that the cherubims and the seraphims, Miss Holly, I want you to get a hold of this. The cherubims and the seraphim, they're gathered around up there and they're praising God, they're worshiping him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah. Hey, Miss Amber, they don't take a break from praising God. Do you understand, Miss Holly? They've never sinned. They have never committed one sin. Those cherubims and seraphims, they're holy, friend. They've never one time lusted. They've never one time lied. They've never stole a piece of bubble gum. They've never had a dirty thought. They've never said an off-colored word. They never laughed at a dirty joke. They've never done anything. Stand up there and worship God all the days of their life. You know what the Bible said? Even the cherubims and the seraphims cover their faces with a veil because they're too unworthy to look upon God. How about them sitting up there never sinned a sin in all their days? Never had a thought of it and just bow their head and lift their wings and praise him continuously. I'm saying, friend, there's nobody like our God. There's no God like our God. He's worthy. Boy, he's worthy. This molded God is still a problem today. Still a problem. I mean, it's more of a problem today. These molded gods, these duplicated gods are more of a problem today than they probably ever have been. People are still molding their little gods as they please. Are you listening? It's amazing how many religious gods we have in the name of religion. It's one thing, Brother Church, and the reason I stay about half mad, it's one thing when the world goes out there and lives like the world. And that's what I expect them to do. I never in my life expected a lost person to live like a Christian. I think they ought to live accordingly as God directs them. I think God ought to convict them, and he does convict them, and I believe that they ought to start repenting before they even get saved. But I'm telling you, friend, they ought not be a hypocrite. Don't pretend to be a Christian. Amen. Just repent of your sins and draw nigh to God. Continue to seek after him, and he'll reward you. My problem, Brother Church, is when people go to church and live like the world. Yes. That's my problem. Yes. That's the problem. The problem I have is when you raise little girls in church all their life and they grow up and be about 16, 17, they can't wait to spread their legs.
Right.
Hello. That bothers me, son. These little girls, they never had no light shining in their life. I can't expect it out of them. That's what the world does.
Yes.
The ones that's had the light of God shine in their life week in and week out, and the mom and daddy that cares enough to get them there. These little old boys who want to throw their life away smoking dope and chasing these little old skirts. I'm telling you, son, it fits both ways, boys and girls. I see it in everybody's life. I see mamas and daddies making compromises. You hear me? It don't bother me for the world to compromise. But it bothers me for people that's been sitting under the light of the gospel to compromise. Sure it does. Expect that stuff out of the world. I was deer hunting several years ago, and there's an old boy come up through there where I was hunting. He was a rowdy rascal. He rides them bikes. He's one of them fags that claims to be the Hell's Angels. I thought, if you want to be a Hell's Angel, go to your tail of hell. Go on out there to California somewhere, join up with them, go ahead, sleep out there with all them fag-loving suckers. I'm telling you, friend, quit trying to be something you ain't. Yeah. Ride around here because you got a pink Harley Davidson with some bull horns on it, think you something, somebody tough. And some of them are pretty tough old boys. I tell you, ain't none of them got enough backbone, bless God, to stand up in that crowd and talk about Jesus. Hey, man, I'm telling you. Hey, they can knock the bottom out of a liquor bottle, but they can't hardly take their Bible and tell somebody about Jesus. Ain't that amazing? It's amazing. Some real men. But I seen old boy come by. Whoa, boy, we're going out ahead. His radio cranked up. Yeah, and he throwing his hand out the window, had a beer in his hand. I went, that boy's a good sinner. He's doing exactly what he ought to be doing. Do you know what my problem is, Miss Holly? It was a church boy in the truck with him. I went, oh God, look at that mess. Stupid junk. You say, preacher, are you that tight? Listen, I don't know if it's tight or what, brother church, but the Lord tries to make me live what I preach. You hear me?
Yes.
I can remember one morning it was frost on the ground down there in Florida. You couldn't drive out on them golf courses if it was frosty because it would burn that grass up and you'd see them golf cart tracks running down through that fairway. That grass would turn black down through there. So I got out and was riding the roads and a road crew was out there working and I was handing out tracks. I went up to a crew and out there I started handing the tracks out to them workers on the road. That evening we worked and got done, and I've told you before, but we got done. I went out there, me and old Steve and Anthony Bass, and seemed like one other guy was a playing golf. We all worked together. We went out after work on our golf course and played around the golf. Well, Anthony Bass was drinking beer, and he was in the cart with me. And it bothered me. I didn't like him, Miss Holly. That Budweiser sitting in that cup holder. We got over at hole number 13, and 13 had to cross the road to get over 13 green, cross the road 14 tee. Got off green number 13, got on that cart. My boy picked that beer up, and we took off to number 14. He put it to his mouth, and we pulled up, and guess what? There was that road crew. And those men that morning that I handed that gospel tract to, they was looking at him. Then they looked at me. They looked at him. That beer, and they looked at me, and I put my head down in shame. And I said, oh God, by your grace, I'll never get in another golf cart. I'll never go play golf with another drunk again. I'll never ride along with a guy that's going to drink. I don't want to do it. If he's going to turn rock music on, if he ain't living for Jesus, I don't want to be out there with him. I'm telling you, friend, I could have very easily sent that man to hell that day. Look at me and thought, you stinking hypocrite. You hand me a track and here you are. You hear what I'm saying? I was guilty by association. I might as well have been drinking that beer, Miss Holly. I might as well have been the drunk in that car. And old boy looked at me and it was like he said, you stinking hypocrite. Your God is not real. I said, oh God, help me to never. By the grace of God, God's allowed me to never be able to do nothing like that again. Man, that's right. Get caught up in some stupid situations. Get caught up at them. And I get off on things. I ain't got a clue, but the Lord apparently wants some of that stuff said. And I just tell you, there's no God like our God. And we see what would have normally happened, Miss Holly. We would have learned how to mold us up a little God right there. You understand what I'm trying to get at? Y'all understand that? I mean, it's not real deep, but about that time in my life, Mama would have been a real good time for me to go get some materials together and start molding me up a little God and just kind of justify sending that man to hell. Huh?
I could have made some real good excuses and went home with a good, clear conscience if I could have just molded me up a little God right there. And boy, ain't we good at that, justifying. Thank God for the Holy Ghost smiting my heart. Thank God for the law of God putting it in my face and saying, you sorry rascal, you ain't got nothing. How about that, boy? How about that? Thank God for the Word of God. I'm telling you, folks can live like a bunch of dogs today and claim that God is okay with it. That's right. That's the gods. That's the little false gods that we've molded up. Man, we can live in fornication. We can live in drunkenness. We can live in adultery. We can do all kinds of things. And we have us a little God made up that's okay with it.
Man.
Can I tell you what God said about that? Let me tell you what God said about that junk. About you just living any old way you want to. This is not judgment. This is the Word of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap. Going to reap that corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap. Shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm going to tell you what God said. God said, you go ahead, old boy. You live like the devil. You go ahead and have a big time. You go ahead and do whatever you want to do. I tell you what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you some corruption. Tell you what God's going to give people. He's going to give them a corrupt life. Say, God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. Don't bother him. He doesn't promise you that's what he was going to give you. You sow this old flesh, you're going to reap corruption, friend. Go ahead. Go ahead. You want some corruption? Some of this old stinking flesh. You have to make a decision, ladies and gentlemen. You must decide to serve God, the God that formed you, or the God that you formed. Which God you going to serve? I'll cut it off. Maybe we can pick it back up after we eat. But, hey, listen. Which God you going to serve? You going to justify your wrong? You're going to justify your deeds. You're going to justify your doing. I'm going to tell you how you ought to read your life. With a mirror of God. Whatever that book says is what we ought to go with. If God said it was wrong, we're to say it's wrong. If God said it was right, we're to say yes, it's right. That's what these old boys were doing, son. They were sticking to what God said. There's some things that God had told these old boys. They were sticking to it. They didn't make them up a little God to go along with the world. You have to understand, I said the world. This world was doing the opposite. We're living in a nation such as this one in our text. In the book of Daniel, we're living in a Babylon, ladies and gentlemen. They were a nation as a whole that turned their back on the true and living God. And because of that, these four godly men in this book had to suffer many things. Let me ask you a question. We'll cut it off right here. How many of y'all suffering? Listen, I ain't talking about being persecuted. I mean, son, there's some heartaches in your life, ain't there? If you're living for God, this will be heartaches. Yeah. Brother, church stuff hurts me. When I hear about Houseville 2, that hurts. I suffer over that. I sit in my house sometimes and just hurt because the direction of this nation, because this is so wicked, and I'm trying to guide people to this light and show people the Jesus that's real and loves them, that died for them. This world is pulling them another way, and when I see this kind of stuff, and America as a whole is just kind of being swayed and tugged and pulled that way, and exposure does lead to acceptance, and they're teaching this to our children. I had to suffer with stuff. Mrs. Tanya, when North Carolina said that sodomites could marry each other. Yeah. I understand that America is under the judgment of God, ladies and gentlemen, and sodomites are just that. They are our judgment. Mm-hmm. But sitting down there in my house, of the church, it hurts. My heart breaks for this state. My heart breaks for this country. My heart breaks for this people. Because we're living in this old world and we're trying to live righteous. I'm telling you, the unrighteousness makes a righteous people suffer and hurt and have to go through some things that we wish we never had to go through. Oh, but thank God we get a glimpse of heaven every once in a while. Amen. And it makes you say, as the great apostle said, it ain't nothing but just a light affliction. Boy, we just get through this thing, I'm telling you, heaven awaits. Thank God we're going to get to see him one of these days face to face. And I promise you, all this heartache stuff will be over. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying, you're going to have to make a decision which one of these gods you're going to serve. Yes. You're going to hurt. Yes, you're going to have to do some suffering. But I promise you it'll be well worth it. I'll pick back up on the rest of this, I hope. And maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I do feel like an utter failure, dear God, to try to express your word. God, the words come out wrong and everything else. But dear God, I pray that you'd take it and use it for your honor and glory. God, somehow, some way, take it, sow it in the heart of people. To help, dear God. I pray, God, that you'd convince sinners, convert them. I pray, dear God, that you'd warm the heart of the cold. And God, I pray that you'd encourage the heart of the saint. Lord, do whatever needs to be done. I pray, God, that you'd do it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this food that we're about to eat. Thank you for everybody that's prepared. And I pray, God, that you'd bless it to our bodies and use our bodies for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh boy. Hey, Caitlin.